So, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the SWAT Show. This is the weekly 15-minute show featuring practical, usable advice from the best athletes, coaches, and experts from the world of triathlon so that you can get the most from your training time and maximize your enjoyment of the triathlon lifestyle. Now, if you like that idea, you might want to hop across to the free Facebook community I've just started called Morning Tea with Simon Ward. Just type that into the Facebook search box at the top of the Facebook page and just apply to join there and I'll welcome you with open arms. Of course, my name is Simon Ward. As I said, I'm the founder of the triathloncoach.com and the SWAT Inner Circle. And this will be, if it's not already, the number one resource for performance-minded triathletes like yourself. If you want to get a special gift of my best training strategies from 20 years of coaching and competing as an age group triathlete, I've squeezed it down into just 3 pages of content. And you can hop along to our website, www.thetriathloncoach.com, and get it from there. Or you can email triathlonsuccess to lucy@thetriathloncoach.com and she will post that out to you. Now, enough of that fluff, enough about me. On to today's special guest. It's another Yorkshireman, so I'm very, very pleased to welcome Nigel Mitchell. Good morning, Nigel.
Hiya, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic today, Nigel. How are you?
Yeah, great, mate. I've been out on my bike for a couple of hours this morning, so it always puts me in a good mood.
Nice and relaxed. Got the coffee there?
I had a couple of coffees before I went, so it's a cup of tea now, a good cup of Yorkshire tea. You can't beat it.
And that's it. That's the photograph I actually have on my morning tea with Simon Ward, a Yorkshire teapot. So just as a matter of introduction, Nigel is a high-performance nutrition consultant. So he's worked with Team Sky since the inception. He worked before that for 14 years with British Cycling. He was heavily involved with Bradley Wiggins' transition from track champion to Tour de France champion and the well-publicised change of body shape and weight loss that Bradley underwent there. He's now working with the Cannondale Pro Cycling Team. He's also involved with some of our Olympic athletes with British Triathlon and also with some of the swimmers from British Swim, particularly the open water swimmers, and from British Sailing. So Nigel's going to have a big part to play, hopefully, in the gold medals that we're expecting in Rio next year. But today, we're not going to be talking about Olympic athletes, are we, Nigel? We're going to be talking about how we can help triathletes with their nutrition. And before we even get started with food and what they put in their mouth, you wanted to open up with gut health. Now, if you're squeamish, keep listening. This is important, and some things that you've probably never considered before are going to come out in this chat now. So go ahead, Nigel. I'm completely ignorant about gut health. Tell me the things I need to know to improve my health and my training performance.
Well, as a nutritionist, one of the things I'm particularly interested in is not just actually what's the foods, what's the nutrients in those foods, but are those foods, are those nutrients getting into the body? And I've had an interest in gut function, gut health for the whole of my career. So when I first qualified as a dietitian 20 odd years ago, I worked with a lot of immunocompromised patients. And one of the things I found from these people, these patients, that they were really interested in gut health. And what they found was by really trying to ensure that they got really healthy guts, that helped their immune systems. And we now know there's a real strong link between gut health, gut function, and immune system. So, for example, research has shown that for some people, probiotics can help to reduce chest infections. So how do you link that from the gut to the chest? And it's quite simple when you start to understand some of the anatomy and the physiology. And it's about protecting the integrity of the villi, the microvilli in the small intestine. So to understand all of this, we have to, first of all, know a little bit about the anatomy and the physiology of the gut and the purpose of it. And we've then got to understand what are the extra demands that doing sports such as triathlon puts on the gut. And actually then what can we do to try and protect it the best that we can?
Okay, can you give us a potted tour of the gut and its functions in 60 seconds?
You know, it'd be difficult to do it in 60 seconds, but I'll do my best. Basically, the way to think of it, it's a tube from top to bottom. And actually, in effect, that inside of it is outside of the body. Sounds a bit strange, but the gut is there for us to digest and absorb the nutrients. It's also there to protect, act as a barrier for the body against pathogens such as bacteria. and it's split up into the different sections. So in effect, the mouth and the stomach is really there about a mechanical process, and the stomach's very acidic. But then when we move into the small intestine straight after the stomach, the duodenum, jejunum, etc., that becomes alkali.
Right.
And so the pH of the content is very important for the function of the gut. So athletes, this is the first thing, is that athletes, with a lot of things that they do, then they can be having a lot of acid-type foods. So, for example, sports drinks, most sports drinks tend to have a pH of about 3.5. Now, there's no problems for the majority of people having the odd bottle of sports drink.
So just let's get this straight now. So pHs go up to 14, is that right? Is that I remember?
Yeah, so pH, acid is 1 to 7.
Right.
And then alkali is 7 to 14. Basically.
I thought I'd remembered that from my school biology days, yeah.
That's right. So the stomach's got a pH, has got a really low pH, between 2.5, 3.5, so it's right. Really quite low with hydrochloric acid.
Yep.
And then they say the duodenum is more alkali.
Right.
And that's from a result of the bile salts that's released into the small intestine to aid with the digestion. So if that small intestine becomes more acidic, the pH drops, then that can affect the function and the integrity of the small intestine.
Yep.
And an interesting one is that sometimes athletes, when they're in very hard training, they may develop a temporary lactose intolerance. So lactose is the sugar that we have in milk. Your body produces lactase. And a lot of people go, I can't tolerate milk. And that's because the body's not producing the lactase. And the lactase is one of the enzymes that gets knocked off quite early when we've got gut disturbance. So you do find quite a lot of athletes that will keep away from milk when they're in high training loads. And that's one of the early indicators that not all is functioning as well as where it should be in the gut.
Right, okay.
But the sports drinks are what a lot of triathletes will use. Again, a very acidic things like canned sodas, colas and things like that are all very acidic.
Yeah.
And these contribute to the pH within the gut. And so this is one of the things that if people are a little bit more on the sensitive side, so then they can look at, removing these from the diet. And there is now some pH neutral sports drinks on the diet, on the market. So, for the majority of people, there's no problems if two or three times a week they're having a bottle, a couple of bottles. It's if people are drinking it on a much more regular basis, drinking more of it, or have got a greater sensitivity.
Okay, so are there certain foods then that endurance athletes are likely to consume, perhaps more than normal people, that are higher in acid or in acidic qualities and that are going to put pressure on us and that we should be keeping away from? And on the flip side of that, are there some more alkaline-based foods that we should be thinking about consuming more of to create the balance?
Well, you're absolutely right with that. And that's the thing with it, is looking at that balance, because there's certain things that athletes have got to do. So they need to eat, they need to drink, and a lot of the foods that they have in do tend to be more acidic, things like gels. What you'll notice is on a lot of sports products, then citric acid is one of the ingredients, and citric acid is obviously an acid. It's one of the things that seems to have an effect. So looking at trying, if you are using a lot of these products, then looking for products that don't contain them, and the citric acid's there as a flavor, as a flavor enhancer. So it's there to make it taste a little bit better.
Yep.
So part of the mindset can be, actually, let's look at some products that don't contain it. As I said before, there is some drinks on the market, so that are neutral pH now. So if somebody were going to go to a training camp, when we're putting the body under more stress, again, we put the gut under stress. So when we exercise in the heat, then until we really get heat accustomed, again, that can affect the integrity of the gut.
Okay.
And so a lot of triathletes may be having a week's training camp somewhere hot, like Lanzarote or something like that. And so in effect, you could get a double whammy in that you could go, okay, I'm going to go and get some warm weather training, and why not when it's cold and wet? But you also then might be doing, you know, 20, 25 hours a week training, and you might be using a lot of sports drinks.
Right.
So, you know, what people can think about there, again, if they're going into that type of environment, is maybe using, say, one of the pH neutral type of drinks, but also getting some a little bit of heat acclimatization before they go, so it's not such a big shock on
right.
the gut for when they actually get there.
What about things that they're eating in their normal meals at night?
Yeah.
So if we put aside the sports products there, what are the main culprits that they're likely to eat at the three main meals that are going to contribute to this increased acidity? And what other things can we add in there that are going to balance out the alkaline?
Yeah, so the easiest way to think about it is actually balancing from the alkaline point of view, because normal foods, things like, you know, your breakfast cereal, your porridge and things like that, most of these are quite neutral.
Yep.
It's really the products that we have that swing it.
Right.
And also processed foods, like I was saying before, canned drinks, that type of thing.
Right.
But again, I was saying, it's not just that, it's the actual stress that exercise puts on the gut as well. So
yep.
both these contribute together. So they are the real alkalizing foods, are the green things. So
green,
things
okay.
like, you know, your spinaches, your broccolis, your kales, these types of things. And one of the things that's becoming really popular are the vegetable juices. So this is one of the things that I introduced within Team Sky very early on, was the use of vegetable juices around meals. And this was for two reasons. One, the riders weren't really needing to eat the volume of salad and veg, so they could focus on things like the proteins and the carbohydrates. But also, these are great from an alkalizing point of view and really can help protect the stomach.
Right.
Now, for a lot of people at home, doing vegetable juices is great, but it's a real faff. And there's a lot of products out on the market now that can help with this. So there's a lot of these energized green type products that can, that in effect, powdered vegetables.
Yep.
And you know, they're massively popular in the States.
I noticed that.
And they're getting more popular over here as well. And I've used them a lot with athletes.
Can you, without showing favouritism to any brand, obviously there's a lot out there, but can you, just so that people have got a bit of a guide when they go to the supermarket, what sort of things should they be looking at? Actual powders that can mix with water, or should they be looking at a pre-made litre bottle of sort of liquidised greens?
Well, you can get... You can actually now get, you know, in the supermarket, some of the fresh type of products that have got some of the green type powders added to them. So
yep.
I don't want to give brand names away, but you know, these have got relatively short shelf life. Smoothies
yep.
with added spirulina and powdered kale and things like that. And these are fine. They don't have quite as much in them as when you actually just buy the powders. What you've got with the powders, and people might think, oh, crikey, powders, it's, you know, it's not going to be as fresh. What they tend to be is freeze-dried.
Yeah.
So they tend to actually be really high quality from a nutrient point of view. And you know, what people are just really looking for with these is products with what hasn't got added sugar in them. And they tend to taste like pond water. So a lot of triathletes who are used to open water swimming already know what they taste are like.
But definitely don't go to the local pond and drink that water.
No. Don't drink this at the local pond water. But and this is because, you know, it's all these really green vegetable type plants are in
there. Yeah.
And most of them have got like spinach, broccoli, kale,
yep.
might have beetroot in it. They've got all of those things in, and there's loads on the market there. And
that's great then, because I know there's always a lot of chatter about juices and the fact that you're not getting the fibre out of that. But of course, the really good point that you made there is that, particularly if you're doing a lot of training and you're trying to get more than your five a day, to do that means you've got to eat a lot of volume, and that then sort of increases your digestion time. I guess eating more volume puts that, you talked about gut stress. I guess having more volume of food in there puts more stress on your stomach to do the work to digest everything down. So something that's already liquidized is a lot easier on the psyche and on the body as well.
Yeah, and you've two types of fiber. You've got soluble and insoluble fiber, and in these type of products, you actually still get some of that insoluble fiber with it. And often athletes might be actually consuming an excess amount of insoluble fiber, which can some people find quite heavy on the guts because of the volumes that they might be eating. So, yep. So it can help like that. And, you know, when people are travelling, you can get you can take some of these products with you when you're travelling. So that, you know, there's nothing worse sometimes than some of the airline food and airport food, and you know, you travel and you're feeling all stodged and bunged up, and this type of thing can help with it. But I mean, I'd rather people be having the normal vegetables or making some vegetable juice themselves. But these sort of energised type green products can be a good alternative. I found them particularly useful with endurance athletes.
Well, and I guess that's the thing is, you know, the ideal is to have your vegetables and cook them or make your juices yourself, and that you can probably do when you're in your own environment at home. But when you're travelling, it's if the options are not having anything or using powders, then surely the powders is a better option while you're travelling, and it is only a short term thing.
If you're going on a training camp and you might be just having buffet food and things like that, you don't always know the quality and that you're getting, so they can just help with it. And then you can get them as tubs, and you can get, there's some companies that make single serving sachets, which again are particularly useful for travel.
Right. Well, listen, I can appreciate you not wanting to show commercial favouritism to anybody there, Nige, but what we'll do is for I'll chat with you afterwards and we'll put a little fact sheet together about this, and we can maybe give some brand names that people can try that sort of thing. But hey, listen, Nige, you know what? Not many people get past the 15 minute mark without the metaphorical crook coming out. You've kept us going there for 17 and a half minutes. You've set a new SWATcast record. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to talk about adaptation to training, but that doesn't matter, because I think if you get your gut sorted and you follow some of the basic principles there, steer clear of processed foods, ditch the sodas, be careful about the be careful about what's in the sports nutrition that you've got, and try and get a few more greens in, whether it's self-juiced or pre-made. You're going to make some big strides towards turning your gut into a healthy place to be. And that in itself is going to help you absorb the nutrients in your normal food. Am I on the right track there?
You're on the right track, mate. There's other bits and bobs, but we've run out of time.
But we can come back to that. We need to keep them hanging. Nige, stay on the line. I'll come back to you. But anybody, for those of you listening, I hope you found it interesting. I certainly have. I've got a ton of notes here and things that I'm going to adjust on my nutrition. I hope you do the same. This is the end of this week's SWATcast, but have no fear. We'll be back next week with another special guest. See you later. Bye for now.